Hello and welcome to A-Zone Nano News, episode number 36 for the week commencing the 2nd of June 2008, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of A-Zone Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how researchers can make computers smaller and faster using newly developed carbon nanoribbons, how an atomic force microscope has made it off-world for the first time, and we'll hear how nanotechnology is fundamentally changing metallurgy. This week's A-Zone Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks to Sung Park from Park Systems about their range of atomic force microscopes. These stories and more in this edition of A-Zone Nano News. Superconductors discovered a few months ago by scientists in Japan are displaying remarkable properties that present real mysteries to materials scientists. This new class of materials that exhibit superconductivity at relatively high temperatures contains no copper oxygen layers. Instead, they have rather lace-like layers composed of arsenic and iron. A great flurry of activity to understand these new superconductors is underway. Researchers at the National High Magnetic Field Laboratory, a facility established by the National Science Foundation in 1990, are using high magnetic fields to probe the properties of these materials, hoping to unlock their secrets of superconductivity. Researchers discovered surprising magnetic properties in the new superconductors that suggest the materials may have very powerful applications, from improved MRI machines and research magnets to a new generation of superconducting electric motors, generators, and power transmission lines. Researchers at Chalmers University of Technology in Sweden have reported that a single laser pulse can create complex, ordered nanostructure systems and have discovered a method for controlling the pattern into which nanoparticles organize themselves. The complex nanostructures that are created may find applications in fiber optics, optical sensors, and advanced light-emitting diodes and lasers. The researchers started with a layer of disordered nanoparticles of gold or silver on a membrane of nanometer thickness. The patterning is a consequence of several transformations of the light, which finally results in partial melting and moving of the nanoparticles. The results demonstrate that complex nanostructured systems can be fabricated and manipulated by a single laser pulse. In addition, the study shows in a very concrete manner that assemblies of optically active nanoparticles can be used to trap light in a waveguide, membrane or fiber, with nanometer dimensions. A measuring procedure developed in the Physikalisch-Technische Bundesanstalt can help to investigate in some detail the behavior of magnetic nanoparticles which are used for cancer therapy. Magnetic nanoparticles are a new promising means of fighting cancer. The particles serve as a carrier for drugs. Loaded with the drugs, the nanoparticles are released into the bloodstream, where they move until they come under the influence of a targeting magnetic field, which holds them onto the tumor, until the drug has released its active agent. Besides this pharmaceutical effect, a physical action can also be applied. An electromagnetic alternating current field heats up the accumulated particles so much that they destroy the tumor. Both therapeutic concepts have the advantage of largely avoiding undesired side effects on the healthy tissues. These procedures have already been successfully applied in the animal model and have, in part, already been tested on patients. Stanford chemists have developed a new way to make transistors out of carbon nanoribbons. The devices could someday be integrated into high-performance computer chips to increase their speed and generate less heat, which can damage today's silicon-based chips when transistors are packed together tightly. For the first time, a research team has made transistors called field effect transistors, a critical component of computer chips, with graphene that can operate at room temperature. Graphene is a form of carbon derived from graphite. Other graphene transistors, made with wider nanoribbons or thin films, require much lower temperatures. Researchers predict that silicon chips will reach their maximum shrinking point within the next decade. This has prompted a search for materials to replace silicon as transistors continue to shrink in accordance with Moore's law, which predicts that the number of transistors on a chip will double every 2 years. Graphene is just one of the materials being considered. University of Oregon researchers trying to flip the spin of electrons with laser bursts lasting picoseconds or a trillionth of a second instead found a way to manipulate and control the spin, knowledge that may prove useful in a variety of new materials and technologies. Physicists in recent years have been pursuing a variety of routes to tap electron spins for their potential use in quantum computers that can perform millions of computations at a time and store immense quantities of data, or for use in emerging optic devices or spintronics. The behaviours they discovered were unexpected but intriguing, and they now want to understand why the system works in this way. Amyloid deposits in tissues and organs are linked to a number of diseases, including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, type 2 diabetes, and prion diseases such as BSE. However, amyloids are not just pathological substances, they have potential as nanomaterials. Even in nature, amyloids are not merely abnormal, incorrectly folded proteins, they are physiological components of organisms. For example, they're an important protective material in the egg envelopes of insects and fish. They are also involved in the formation of the biofilms of many bacteria, a coating on the surface of the bacterial cells that protects them from antimicrobial substances and facilitates their attachment to surfaces. Amyloid fibers are bundles of highly ordered protein filaments made of ladder-like strands and can be several micrometers long. In cross-section, amyloids appear as hollow cylinders or ribbons. Although amyloid fibers are proteins, they more closely resemble synthetic polymers than the usual globular proteins. Amyloids can display amazing mechanical properties similar to spider silk, which is, by weight, significantly stronger than steel and can be stretched to many times its original length without tearing, properties that have not been reproducible in synthetic fibers. NASA's Phoenix lander has successfully touched down in the northern polar region of Mars. One of the instruments on board the Phoenix Mars mission is a Swiss atomic force microscope designed to investigate Martian soil samples for possible traces of ice. This nanomicroscope is the fruit of scientific collaboration at the Institute of Microtechnology at the University of Neuchâtel and the Institute of Physics at the University of Basel and NanoSurf AG in Leichtal. The goal of the Phoenix mission is to answer important questions such as whether water exists in forms that can support life. All onboard instruments have been checked for functionality during the first few days of the mission and are now transmitting measurement data to Earth. Cornell fiber scientist Juan Hinestroza is working with the US government to create fabrics made of functional nanofibers that would decompose toxic industrial chemicals into harmless byproducts. Potential applications include safety gear for US soldiers and filtration systems for buildings and vehicles. Hinestroza, assistant professor of fiber science in the College of Human Ecology, is a member of two teams that secured more than $2.2 million from the US Department of Defense, about $875,000 of which will go directly to Hinestroza's work. Both grants are multi-university collaborative efforts funded through the US Defense Threat Reduction Agency. These nanostructures could be used in creating advanced air filtration and personal protection systems against airborne chemical threats and can find many applications in buildings, airplanes, as well as personal respirators. The first project, in collaboration with North Carolina State University, is aimed at understanding how very small electrical charges present in fibers and nanofibers can help in capturing nanoparticles, bacteria, and viruses. Researchers at North Carolina State University have created a substance far stronger and harder than conventional iron, and which retains these properties under extremely high temperatures, opening the door to a wide variety of potential applications, such as engine components that are exposed to high stress and high temperatures. Iron that is made up of nanoscale crystals is far stronger and harder than its traditional counterpart. But the benefits of this nano iron have been limited by the fact that its nanocrystalline structure breaks down at relatively modest temperatures. But the NC State researchers have developed an iron zirconium alloy that retains its nanocrystalline structures at temperatures above 1300 degrees Celsius, approaching the melting point of iron. The ability to work with the material at high temperatures will make it easier to form the alloy into useful shapes for use as tools or in structural applications such as engine parts. The new alloy is also economically viable, since it costs virtually the same amount to produce the alloy as it does to create nano iron. Scientists have found that magnetic nanoparticles can be especially helpful in locating cancerous cell clusters during MRI scans. Like teeny guided missiles, the nanoparticles seek out tumor cells and attach themselves to them. Once the nanoparticles bind themselves to these cancer cells, the particles operate like radio transmitters, greatly aiding the MRI's detection capability. Now, Brown University chemist Shuheng Sun and a team of researchers have created the smallest magnetic nanoparticles to date that can be employed on such seek-and-find missions. With a thinner coating, the particles also emit a stronger signal for the MRI to detect. The team created peptide-coated iron oxide nanoparticles and injected them into mice and tested their ability to locate a brain tumor cell called U87MG. Sun and his collaborators concentrated specifically on the nanoparticle's size and thickness of the peptide coating, which ensures the nanoparticle attaches to the tumor cell. Nanoparticles are important in MRI detection because they enhance what scientists refer to as the contrast between the background, such as water molecules in the body, and a solid mass, such as a tumor. A new study into the potential health hazards of the revolutionary nano-sized particles known as buckyballs predicts that the molecules are easily absorbed into animal cells, providing a possible explanation for how the molecules could be toxic to humans and other organisms. Using computer simulations, University of Calgary biochemist Peter Thielman, postdoctoral fellow Luca Monticelli, and colleagues modelled the interaction between carbon-60 molecules and cell membranes, and found that the particles are able to enter cells by permeating their membranes without causing mechanical damage. Buckyballs commonly form into clumps that could easily be inhaled by a person as dust particles. How they enter cells and cause damage is still poorly understood, but this model shows a possible mechanism for how this might occur. In this week's Azo Nano News interview, Cameron Chai talks to Sung Park from Park Systems about their range of atomic force microscopes. Sung explains their unique design and advantages over similar instruments.
This is Cameron Chai from azom.com, and I've got with me today Sung Park from Park Systems, who's the Vice President of Operations. How are you going today, Sung?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So, Park Systems, can you tell me about Park Systems?
Yeah, Park Systems actually was previously named PSIA, which was founded about 10 years ago when the current CEO, Sang-il Park, went back to Korea after having sold Park Scientific Instruments, which was founded, actually I was a co-founder, in 1988, one of the earliest SPM companies. When our company was sold, Sang-il Park went back to Korea, started PSIA about 10 years ago. This year, to celebrate our 10th year anniversary, we changed the name to Park Systems. So even though we may not be very well known all over the world, we actually have a very long heritage, very long history in the area of SPM.
So lots of experience in the field of atomic force microscopy, scanning probe microscopy and things like that.
That's right, that's right.
All right, so you've got quite a range of instruments that you currently supply?
Yes, we actually produce tools that are specifically actually designed for researchers and in the laboratories and universities that range from model XE70 to NSOM and other tools that I can describe later, but also tools that are specifically designed for industry, for example, hard disk industries and semiconductor industries. that are fully automated.
And you've got a range of different AFMs that operate under different modes. What are some of the modes of operation that your AFMs operate?
Yeah, so actually our model names all start out with this letters XE, which we purposely chose because it stands for crosstalk eliminated. Most of the AFMs that are out there use this tube scanner to generate the three-dimensional movements, which have a built-in XZ coupling that produces unwanted artifacts. And we came out with a scanner design that eliminates that completely, both in the X and Y direction and the X and Z direction. That's why we call our products XE, for crosstalk eliminated. And we have all of our products are based on such scanner design. And we have modes that I think more modes than anybody else, spanning from conductive AFM to EFM, force modulation microscopy, MFM, scanning capacitance microscopy, actually micro or nano fabricated sensor based thermal, scanning thermal microscopy, nano indentation, virtually any mode that you might have read in the literature. We try to have it implemented so that our research customers can have access to such techniques.
Okay, and that was that scanning head that you were talking about, quite a unique design that's unique to your tools?
That's right, yeah. So we actually separated out the XY movement from Z, and in particular the Z, the only thing that is moved with the Z scanner is just the cantilever, which allows it to move about 10 times faster than anything that's out there, which allows us to operate in what we call true non-contact mode, which gives us a lot of abilities that others cannot image. For example, samples such as photoresists or lubricants on top of a hard disk, they cannot image them without disturbing because it's so soft. We can image them without any problems. Also, when you have steep structures like 90-degree angle walls, other imaging modes such as tapping mode will not be able to work. Usually results in broken tips, and we can image them without any problem using true non-contact mode.
So this results in more accurate, more representative imaging of samples then?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And we've been able to verify them with independent methods such as SEM. You clip samples and look at it, verify it using SEM and such.
And other optical techniques and things like that?
Yeah, optics would be a little too low in resolution, but with the SEM, we've been able to corroborate a lot of our results.
Okay, and you also just released a new machine, the XE Ensom Raman.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's a new product that we released at MRS in US, and it allows us to do AFM as well as near-field scanning optical microscopy, which allows the researchers to get additional information about the optical properties of the sample. We have a very flexible design that allows us to incorporate Raman spectroscopy as well, so that people can actually identify what sample they're looking at, not just the topography, but also the chemical nature of the sample as well.
I'm sure that's very handy for some people.
That's right, yeah.
All right, and for anybody that's interested, you're obviously moving ahead, developing new tools all the time. What have you got in store for the future?
Yeah, so we actually, you're right. We have a lot of things that we are working on. I told you that some of the unique options that we have are even this scanner that has a Z range of 25 microns, which is quite large, to be able to look at tall features with AFM. But the tool that we're working on that's to be released in the near future is a tool that's specifically designed, again, for biological applications. So you will have to stay tuned for that product.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be lots of applications for that, and we look forward to hearing from you when that one comes out.
Yeah, we'll be sure to let you know.
All right, Song, thanks very much for your time, and we hope that you get lots of business for your AFMs.
Okay, thank you.
AzoNano Business News. As a response to the increased demand for affordable, high-quality atomic force microscope calibration standards, Budget Sensors, a Bulgarian manufacturer of silicon and silicon nitride probes, as well as AFM accessories, announces the commercial introduction of two different AFM height calibration standards, the HS100MG and the HS20MG. Both height calibration standards feature silicon dioxide structure arrays on a 5x5mm silicon chip. The fabrication process guarantees excellent uniformity of the structures across the chip. This in turn ensures easy and reliable Z-axis calibration of any AFM system. Cytoviva Incorporated was named one of the top 10 most promising life sciences companies at the 7th annual Rice Alliance for Technology and Entrepreneurship Life Science Venture Forum in Houston last week. Life science companies showcased their new ventures for an audience of more than 350 attendees, including investors, venture capitalists, industry representatives, business leaders, advisors and mentors, service providers and entrepreneurs. Nanophase Technologies, a technology leader in nanomaterials and advanced nanoengineering products, has received initial nanomaterial orders for new applications in two new markets. Nanophase remains intensely focused on delivering superior product value to targeted markets and customers. The company continues to rigorously advance customer and product opportunities through its improved sales process and to leverage its investment in R&D application development for nanomaterial-enabled products. This focused approach has resulted in two new customer orders from the animal hygiene and electronics market. SIBA and CSEM have signed a mid- to long-term cooperation agreement in the field of organic optoelectronic, micro, nano and thin film technology. The partnership aims at developing new commercial products and solutions based on emerging printing and micro technologies. SIBA and CSEM are collaborating in the development of materials, technologies, processes, services and systems in the field. The Korean Ministry for Knowledge Economy has said that a set of new rules will go into effect on Wednesday, allowing foreign institutes to become equal participants in research projects with Korean partners. Foreign participation is currently limited to technical advisory roles. The new rules apply to both state-supported and private sector R&D projects. If foreign laboratories and companies invest money in projects, they'll be able to own or share intellectual property rights that are created in the development process. The changes, however, call for Korean research organizations or laboratories to be full partners in such research efforts. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 2nd of June 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To read expanded versions of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. Yeah.